and discover what I've given you. And then every one of us, at some another time in our life, we need to open up and say, God, who am I? Because this morning, as we're going to pray and we dedicate that, Abby and Kristen, do I pronounce it right? We're just going to affirm what God says about them. And we ask, I always have this example, and it's the best way I can explain it to people. I say, God, can we just look through the window of the future for a short while, prophetically, and allow us to see maybe just a blink of that. There's so much more than your future that you do not even know about. A great future that God has got in mind for you. To walk prophetically into that place of occupying that where God has called you to be. And this morning, we're going to do that. But before we do that, we're going to ask everybody this morning as well to join the parents as we accept responsibility and say, God, we've got a spiritual responsibility for our children. Your responsibility is to pray for the parents. Their responsibility is to say, listen, we need help, pray for us. And according to God's word and according to our knowledge and the way we best understand that, in humility, we're going to do the best to shape them so that they one day will choose. And I tell you people, all of us here, as we bless them this morning, will need to reach that point one day in life where you can choose whether you allow that which is dormant inside of you, which God has placed inside of you, that deposit of God, which is already in them. It's already inside of them. You've got a decision whether you want to explore that and you want to further that. I want to start a career, but that pursue your destiny. And some of us sometimes will be in life, walking through life till we're old. Or maybe you die and you've never discovered what God has placed in there. So God, as we just bless these wonderful children. Before we do that, I'm going to ask Ruan just to get the words up there. And we're going to make a declaration. But I'm going to ask, can we as a congregation join in making this declaration this morning and read it out loud? So we as parents acknowledge and thank God for these precious gifts He has entrusted to us. Before God and His people, we hereby dedicate our children to the Lord. We commit ourselves with God's help in partnership with the church to bring up our child in the love and instruction of the Lord. By word and example, we promise to teach our children the word of God, and with patience and love, we will build the character of Christ and the joy of the Lord in their lives. Protect them from worldly claims upon their lives and make it our regular prayer that by God's grace, our children may walk in the abundant life Christ offers. That's it. I'm just going to get some oil. My wife is in the children's church, so you'll have to excuse me. She can't join me this morning. And we just anoint Kristen and Abby, or Abby and Kristen. If you can turn around there and say, got a scripture that I want to give you, Abby, this morning. It is 2 Chronicles 32, verse 7, that says, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria and all the horde that is with him, for they are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people took confidence from the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. And Abby, as I see you this morning, I see you as a little girl with a lot of faith. And you're gonna tower out above every other, because there's such an amount of faith that God has placed in you that He's gonna activate at the right time, and you'll be inspiration to others with the faith that you have. And you'll be able to say, "I'm gonna take that on," while others say, "I'll stay in the boat when it's safe." And God, we pray this morning, Lord, for this amount of faith, this huge faith giant, Lord, that You're giving us, Lord. We just affirm, Lord, what we see in our life. And Lord, we pray, Lord, let it be according to Your kingdom, Lord. Let it be done, Lord, and let Your kingdom expand in our life. Father, I thank You for Abby this morning, Lord, as we can just pray over life, Lord, that wherever she will, Lord, that she will take giant steps of faith, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that she will conquer huge, big mountains, Lord, that You will bring down Goliaths in the kingdom, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You will bring down lions in the kingdom. I thank You, Lord, that no mountain will be too high, Lord, but that You will always be able to say that He that's with us is greater than he that's in the world. And Lord, as Hezekiah's words are just uttered here, Lord. I pray that that will be engraved in the spirit. This morning we pray, Lord, that you will never be able to depart from that. But Lord, the calling, Lord, we pray that you will connect it to that, to a destiny, Lord. I thank you, Lord, in the right time, Lord, you will open up the spiritual realm to her, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you will protect her spirit, Lord, from a defilement, Lord, from any kind of other defilement, Lord, that will want to break it down. And this morning, Lord, we pray at the right time, Lord, open up, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that there will be a release of faith in her life, Lord, that others will be inspired, Lord, by the courageous and boldness that she's got, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that she will not back off, but, Lord, that she will run in the front, Lord, that she'll be able to do that, Lord, when others say no, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that its strength will, and a strength will not lie in herself, but, Father, it will lie in you this morning. It will, a confidence will not be in herself, but, Lord, this morning we speak it over her, Lord, that her confidence will be in you. Her boldness will not be in herself, not in the strength of man, not in the strength of flesh, but this morning in the Spirit of God that is enabling her, Lord, to do that. In Jesus' name, and we bless her this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we can pray for a future husband, Lord, that she will be a blessing unto him. Lord, even at this stage, we pray for Courtney and Milani. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will entrust them with spiritual riches, Lord, how to impart to these children, and Lord, to bring them up in your ways. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And there's a little one. Kristen, I've got a scripture for you in Psalm 34, verse 2, that says, "My soul makes it boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." And Courtney, Milani, you've got a worshiper here. God is going to place songs of worship in this child's. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you for worship here this morning. We thank you, Lord, that, oh God, that you use this little precious girl, Lord, to magnify your name. I thank you, Father, that you will, oh God, release out of her life, Lord, a flavor that's so sweet, smell, such a sweet smelling aroma unto you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that our lips will be words of worship unto the Almighty God, Lord. God, that you will use the odds, that you will come, everything that comes against her, Lord, that you will turn it around, Lord, and that it will be a sweet smelling aroma, that it will be wherever she goes, Lord, that her lips will be filled with the praise from heaven. I thank you, Lord, that you will, at night when she goes to bed, Lord, that you will plant the seeds in her life. I thank you, Lord, that at night when she sleeps, Lord, that the words that will be in her spirit, Lord, will be words of praise, Lord, words of worship, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that she will not be able to depart from that, but Lord, wherever she goes, Lord, that she will find, Lord, that your word is hidden inside of her. And Lord, I think about Jeremiah that said, "I was weary of holding it back, but I could not." And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that she will not be able to hold it back, but out of his belly, Lord, will burst forth living streams of living water, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that the lyrics that's inside of her, Lord, will just burst forth, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that out of that, Lord, your name be exalted, your name be magnified. I thank you, Lord, amongst her friends, amongst her family, Lord, that they will look at her, and Lord, they will see there's a deposit of God's greatness in her that's about to be released in due time. And Lord, I thank you, from a young age, she will worship you, Lord. She will not discover that at an old age, but Lord, she will discover it from a young age, and you will release this unto you, Lord, a sweet aroma. Jesus, we glorify your name, and we pray this morning for both parents and everyone involved and friends. We pray, Lord, bless them with the richness of Christ, Lord. I pray this morning, Lord, that they will be filled with your spirit. I pray that they will be filled with the knowledge of Christ, the love of Christ daily, Lord. Impart to them, Lord, and I thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 I've got two certificates just to remind you of what we do here this morning. And thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you. Who of you have seen or followed the series The Amazing Race? Who heard about The Amazing Race? It's one. Raise your hands. There must be a few more. Yeah, The Amazing Race. Okay, great. There's a majority didn't know. Same in the first service. Don't worry. There's this Afrikaans story. Okay, I know it's English service, but there was a story, Skattejag. I don't know if you remember. Okay, now you're giving your age away, but that's all right. That's Afrikaans story. Many years, it's the same principle, Amazing Race. But let me tell the story or the what it's about to the rest of you. We do not watch television. Okay, my wife does it. That's why I know about it. So, no, nothing wrong if you watch that. It's not a no-no. It's just one of those interesting treasure hunt stories, I want to say. They are teaming up together, two people. It's not a couple, because nowadays, apparently, two men can form a couple as well. But anyway, some are men, some are ladies, some are men and women, but they're coming together, they're a team, and then they enroll in this competition. And what happens, they get an X amount of money or resources, and then they have to go from one point to another point. They get the hints how to get there. So they wouldn't necessarily tell them, okay, you need to go to the lighthouse. They will give them some hints, and they have to figure it out which specific point they have to go to. And once they get there, they will get another hint or tell them where to go eventually till they reach the end. Okay, so sometimes they have to figure it out. Sometimes they get lost. So it's this amazing race, what it's about. But I'm going to use it as an introduction to my sermon this morning. I thought about that. So I'm going to ask Ruan just to show us a few from the best moments of Amazing Grace. And then you maybe will understand what it's about.
Be careful. Do you want to get just number 6. Still in the Amazing Race. Congratulations. Seems like it means a lot to you guys to stay in this race, huh?
I rolled that damn car. I thought it was over. Feels good to be on this path, Phil. Feels really good.
You'll be happy to know your cameraman is going to be okay. Randy, your last team tour ride. Sorry to tell you, you've both been eliminated from the race.
We deserve to be. We do. Today we're awful.
Life is a race. Life is a marathon. But the Bible talks about that as well. That we all run. If you're in this room this morning, you're running somewhere. And let's see what Paul has to say about it, about running, and where we're running, and about how we run. If you've got your Bible, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 this morning, turn with me there, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. I'm going to come back to this. But before we share, let's see what Paul says about this. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. As we share about the amazing race that we are in. Verse 24 of chapter 9, 1 Corinthians. Paul writes and he says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." We can stop there for a moment. Life is actually a marathon. What if you want to call it a race, it's fine as well, I guess. Every one of us here this morning are running somewhere. And that last team got to the end and they received the bad news. Sorry, you eliminated. Now one day, all of us will reach the end. Only thing is, none of us know when that day will be. It might be tomorrow, might be 50 years from now, but we'll reach a place when time has run out for all of us. And then we'll have to stand there and say, or ask, or find, or discover, did we run in the right direction? Did we do it right? Did we do it to the best of our abilities? You know, and I thought about that, about my own life. How it all started off growing up in a religious home, but not having a relationship with Christ. And just doing my own thing. Because the Bible is actually very clear about that. It says when you live your life for yourself, you're just lawless. You're a law unto yourself. I can decide when I feel like it, if I want to. Nobody tells me what I should do. And that's the kind of life I actually lived as a young man. And one night in 1991, I was 14 years old at that stage, God came at a concert at school, and there was a man that just sang a few songs, gospel concert, and at the end of the concert, he made an altar call. And I still to this day, I don't know how I got to the back of that room. Sometimes you just know something inside of me just pulled me and I got to that back and I just wept before God. My life was a mess. And God just came into my life that night. I had an encounter with him. At that stage, everything was just a mess. And I remember it the next following day. We were on the farm and the whole day I couldn't escape from that feeling. There was something that took place in my life. Although at that stage, I couldn't define that. It was new to me, but I knew something happened inside. Something, God did something inside of my heart. Although I couldn't explain to people, I just knew there's something that happened. And that is my spiritual man that connected with God. And so long story short, time went on and there was something that bugged me all the time and that was the baptism. I didn't do that. God kept on. There's something outstanding. Something outstanding. And then I think I was about 18 years old when I did that. I had to do that against my parents' permission. almost joke about that nowadays. I had the privilege to baptize one of them. And I had to do that because I knew that was the right thing to do. And even after that, I've done that. I wasn't as close to God as I should have been at that stage of my life. And I gradually, because I didn't have the right people around me, kind of grew lukewarm until, again, at another stage, 22 years old, God said, it's your time. I've got to put you back on the operation table and do a deeper work. And then God came and he confirmed the calling of my life and baptized me with the Holy Spirit. And my life changed forever after that. I don't know what your journey looks like this morning. Maybe you are here this morning and you have a similar story of where you were in the dumps. And God just came and he picked you up and he restored you and he gave you a bright future. Or maybe you are still wrestling with God. And I believe there are some people this morning, you are still wrestling with God. And God is saying, allow me to enter in. But you're trying to bring him down so much in the natural. And Ruan, can I get 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14 up there? 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14. I believe some of us need to see this morning. That you want to reason everything in the natural. And that's why God cannot enter. It says there, but the natural man, says this is a King James, yeah. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, nor does he know him, because he's spiritually discerned. And I know this is a word for somebody out there this morning, that your natural man, you're kicking against it so much because you're trying to figure this out with the natural man. Because what happens inside of you, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, cannot be comprehended with the natural mind. That took place inside of my life and your life. Maybe if you're sitting here this morning and you know for a fact that it was a day in your life when Christ came and stand in front of you, he knocked on your door, knocked on the door of your heart and said, allow me to walk into your life and change it. That when you made the decision, your life changed forever. See, Nicodemus came to Jesus in John 3. He says, let's go there. If you've got your Bibles here, John 3, I'll tell you the story. But you can read that afterwards. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he says to Jesus, Jesus, I checked you out. I checked the way you move, the way wherever you go, the things you do. He said, no one can do the things you do, all the miracles, unless God is with him. Now Nicodemus was a teacher of the law. He knew a lot of stuff. He had a lot of Bible knowledge. Let me put it this way: in our current day, a theologian. So obviously he knew a lot until he got to that place. When he saw Jesus, then things didn't make sense to him. I mean, we know all this stuff. We know all the laws, all the things that Jesus gave us. And then Jesus says to him, Nicodemus, you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. Born again. My friends, unless you've been at that place where that took place in your life, where you've been born again, when God did something inside of you that you cannot explain, but you know that you've been at that place where you kneel down and say, Jesus, I need you. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the kingdom of God for being a member of Shofar Christian Church or any other church. You cannot join Christianity. It doesn't work like that. You are being born, or you need to be born again. That's the starting point. And that's why I want to talk about this race this morning. When Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians 9, he says, actually here in Galatians, my little children, Galatians 4 verse 19, little children for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. You see, I believe you will agree with me that we are not born as adults. We're not born as adults. Are we all looking? Amen? We're born as babies in the natural. Now it works exactly the same in the spiritual realm. No father or mother gives birth to an adult. Go through birth pains. I'll probably die if you go and try and give birth to an adult. Wouldn't be able to carry the adult, nevertheless. But everybody comes into life in the form of a baby or a seed, and then a baby, and then eventually you grow up to become an adult. It's exactly the same in the kingdom of God. There's a time that you have to go back, if you can remember this morning, that you were born into the kingdom of God. That something took place, that God came that day. He picked you up out of that mess and mud and all of nonsense. And he gave you, or he reminded you of the future, especially what we did this morning. Those two precious children will one day have to get to that place where they'll have to choose for themselves. None of us, your parents cannot choose for you this morning. Although we would like to do that for our children. Sometimes everything in my being wants to say, God, if I can just almost want to say manipulate, just so that they choose you. But I know I cannot. I can just do what I can do right now at this moment just to create that atmosphere that they can, that the Holy Spirit can feel welcome in my house and then impregnate them with the gospel of God, and then one day they'll have to make the decision. But unto that, we're just free range, not free range eggs, but free range chicken, just going everywhere till you make a decision. But when you're born into the kingdom of God, you are a baby. Now let's talk about babies for a moment, because I want to talk about this race that we're running, or this marathon that we're running. See, I want to say that, be honest with yourself this morning. Some of the people came back after the first service and said to me, you know, I see myself still as the baby. That's fine. I'm not picking on any person here this morning. Just be serious and be honest where you are. Right. You see, as a baby, and God loves, by the way, God loves the sound of babies in the house. God loves the sound of babies. I'm going to say it again. If there's a church that hasn't got the sound of babies in it, there's a problem. It's a dying church. And if we as the old people or the older Christians, can I just speak to you for a short while? You got to get used to the babies kneeling around you or crawling around you and making all funny noises and all the nappies and all the stuff. Because sometimes when we're too far away from that, we become a little bit selfish. You know, I often say that as well. Now with our little children, we're content with them. And we love them so much. But I would say, oh no, they threw the nappies, or the last one is almost going through that, being potty trained soon. But you can see the first signs are there. And we're getting our proper sleep. And now we're thinking, oh, not another one. And all of that. Because why? I'm thinking of myself. But I think sometimes in the kingdom of God, we're like that as well. We're so selfish. We do not think about the people around us, the babies that actually still have nappies. And let's talk about the characteristics of babies. One of them is they have, or characteristics, that's not a characteristic, but that's a physical, they've got nappies. What does nappies say to us? They stink. Only time they smell like something is when you open them up and then the first time. Okay, not the second time. But babies has got issues. They've got issues. And I'm not picking on any person. I'm just saying it's okay to come to God with all your issues, everything you have. Say, God, my life is just such a mess. And God says, okay, I'll clean you up. I'll open up nappy. Some of the fathers can't say amen there, including me. It's not one of my strengths. But anyway, God says, I'm willing to touch you. I'm willing to touch that place where nobody else wants to touch. And fathers, you can identify right now with me about that. When nobody else wants to go there, God says, I'm willing to touch that. I know that's painful. I know it's a mess in your life and others. God says, I'm willing. And the same with us being here for a while. God wants that same heart with us. He says, you need to be willing to go up and pick the mess of others, because I did that for you. I remember I shared this with you a couple of weeks ago when we did that cleaning. See, it's okay to come with your nappy to church, I almost want to say. If you identify with this morning, and maybe, just maybe, recently you came to that place over the week, over our men's camp or Awaken or somewhere else. You came to that place and you realized, God, I need you. Maybe you're at that place where you're still a baby. But I want to say to you, that's okay. We want to care for you. We're here for you. We want to change your nappy with all love and respect. But you see, the thing with babies, you can see I've got only girls, so I've only got the pink pram this morning to demonstrate something here. Babies cannot feed themselves. Somebody's got to feed them. I'm not saying I'm the food. Let me just put it straight. The bottle that you mix with the powder, or maybe when the little girl or boy is growing older, You don't put down a 500 gram steak in front of him and say, enjoy yourself. See you later. This is your dinner for tonight. All of you that's got children will know, you have to take that steak or meat or some of you fish or whatever you have or the vegetables, poor child, and you cut that into little pieces and you help him to eat that. Now my question is to you, some of you here this morning who see yourself, or maybe God is showing you, you're still in that stage, who are you accountable to? Because we need people around us to take responsibility. And I'm talking to the babies for a moment here. You need somebody around you that can help you to swallow, or not to swallow, but to cut that food for you. See, when you come to Christ, the majority of the time people say, I don't know where to start. I don't know what to read. You need somebody to help you there. So that one day, you will be able to help somebody else. But we'll get to that in a moment. You see, some of the parents here this morning, or some of the fathers, the only thing you can do to prepare food is baking 2 eggs or maybe eat bread. Huh? I know there's some fathers out there. The mothers are so just such great women. They do everything for them. Okay, I won't look around. Okay. Anyway, the same spiritually speaking. Some of us can only bake an egg. You've never learned, you've never discovered, or never figured out how to open the word, how to cut this, so that I can feed somebody else. You can't even feed your own family spiritually. And God says, that's not the way I want it. See, somehow another time you got to learn how to cut this steak, how to open up this word. Even, and I'm not saying I figured it all out. Please, I can tell you today, up to today, the word of God is just so immense, so intense. And it's like a map that's just unfolding all the time. Somebody explained it to me one day, and that's exactly how it is. It's like a map. You unfold it, and you figure it out, and you see all these kinds of routes, and it's going there, and then you fold it, and then you get to a dead end. Have you got to that place in your life when you reach the dead end, when the Bible doesn't make sense? To me, it's often come to that place when it doesn't make sense. And then I have to go back all the way and just start trying to figure God out again. Figure God out, by the way, if we can ever get to that place. We'll never get to that place. But we discover God daily, and we discover another aspect of Him. But when in that process, we learn to digest, we learn to eat, because God wants us to grow from that place. You see, babies cannot take responsibility for themselves. I've got the little 2-year-old girl, and even my older ones. I cannot leave them at the back there and say, listen, daddy's going to church, or we're in the service, enjoy yourself, see you later. No. I need to make sure either I'm looking, or my wife is looking after them, or somebody at the back is looking after them. Because she can run out at the out here, right in front of a car. There's danger. I need to think for her. I need to make sure that nothing happens to that little one that's been given to me. You see, when you come to church, I want to say to you this morning, it's okay if we push you around. We help you to the place where you need to be. And say, it's okay, don't touch. Stay away from that. Stay away. That's going to burn you. No. I like it. Christine is here, and Mark's not here. But do you know what we do sometimes with spiritually? We go to the doctor. Now imagine if you would go to the doctor this morning. You've got a pain here somewhere, or headache. And you sit down and say, Christine, I've got this pain here. Can I just have this medication? It's there, and this is the problem. This is exactly, I can just define this to you, and can I have this medicine? Thank you very much. See you later. No, you don't go to the doctor and tell him what you want, and although maybe some people do that. I don't know. But we do that with God. We go to the doctor, the big doctor, and then they say, God, I've got this mess in my life. There's a pain. God says, okay, sit down, my child, let us talk. And God says, the prescription is stay away from that. Don't do that. I know some of us, all you years, stay away and don't do. But sometimes we're in such a mess anyway that God has to give us such a prescription. And do a little bit more of that. Take a little bit of that. Take a little bit of prayer. Take a tablet of prayer. Take a this, take a that. Get some fellowship. And we're like, no. That one is too expensive, God. I cannot afford that one. Can't stay away from there. But we want to be healed, and God says, no, I need to take responsibility for you. I need people around you that can take responsibility for you. Now my question to all of us here this morning is, who are you accountable to? You need somebody around you. This week as we were in Walvis Bay, the cell group, one of the guys came to me afterwards. He said, you know, what I love about this church, or what about the where they started, so when I come back here next week with the cell group, the other guy's going to ask me, did you do this and this and this? And that was just so precious. But he embraced this whole thing about accountability. See, children cannot take responsibility. You can try and be wise in your own eyes. And we often want to see ourselves more greater, or I want to say more mature than we really are. Or I'd rather play safe and say, let me just get a lot of friends around me, because that protects me. The Bible says, in the counsel of many, there are wisdom and safety. And when you have that, I don't only have two eyes that's looking. I've got 10 eyes around me that's looking. So there's danger. Careful. So you should come to church, I want to say, and allow us. We'll push you around. We'll help you. Do that in humility. But there's another stage that the Bible talks about. And that's the time when God came and did something in my life. At that stage when he baptized me with the Holy Spirit. I remember one night that that pastor, one of the pastors came to our church and he preached a message about becoming sons in the house of God. Look at this, when Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians, he says here, 1 Corinthians, oh sorry, it's the wrong chapter here. Let me just get back to my place. Verse 25, it says, every athlete exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. New King James says actually some athletes practice discipline. You can underline that in your Bible, discipline. How many things in life, I'm not going to give you a New Age message, just hang in there, is accomplished through discipline and perseverance? Almost everything. What I'm trying to say to you, you're not doing this in your own strength. Discipline is not something, oh, I'm so great, now I can do this. It's by the grace of God that is enabling you to practice discipline in your life. But some of us, and this is with everything, in your work, if you're disciplined there, you will be rewarded. If you're disciplined in your exercising your body, you will be rewarded. Discipline with food, discipline with everything, spiritually speaking, exactly the same. If I can discipline myself not to and to commune with God, and I'm not saying making a law here, but it's about discipline, getting up every day. Every day I've got the opportunity not to choose Christ. You cannot come to our men's camp, to our awaken, to a church service, have an encounter with God, walk away and think, yo, God turned me on, great. Last year I saw people there, great encounters with God, great testimonies afterwards. Spoke to me, wow, God did this and this. They disappeared. Because you need to be born again. And you get born into a family. God doesn't do babies out there in the street, dump them out there, and then allow them to grow up, get on their horse. Then they are one-man horse, one-man lone ranger, going out there deceiving people. That's why you need a family. If you're a baby this morning, everybody of us was at that stage one. Maybe you're still there. You need a family. I don't care if it's here or it's not there. You need a family. Somebody around you that can check out, that can help you, that can be around you, that can help you to grow out of that place. You see, God wants all of us to grow to that place of becoming sons in the house. And sons are the ones that have practiced discipline, have learned to practice discipline. But not only that, apart from the fact that sons reach that place when they practice discipline and they help others to digest and to understand it, there's something that God has placed, and we spoke about it this morning with these two little ones, that God has given all of us. See, in that pram, I always want to say, or in your life, there's something hidden there. And we push children or people around and babies around, and some another time, you've got to allow them to discover that. And allow them to ask this question, or maybe to find the question, answer to this question. Why am I here? Why am I here on earth? Why am I here this morning in this church? Maybe you can close your eyes just for a moment. I want you to meditate upon that question. Maybe you're not going to get the answer right now, but that's fine. If that seed is planted, I want you to wrestle with God afterwards. But just close your eyes for a moment and just ask God, God, maybe you know the answer. That's fine. Just bless you, my brother. Continue to run with that. But ask God, God, why am I here? See, sons have discovered, I almost want to say, why they are here. They get to that place when they discover, oh man, there's something I like. There's something that's unique to me. Got a saw years back, a saw as well. There's something that God has placed inside of me that's so unique to me that I got to use. Now, I know in church we have that often that we have a display. We do window shopping, we have a display. Oh, look at my gifting! This is beautiful! I've got the gift of prophecy! Hallelujah! But you don't see them anywhere. Oh, look at my gifting! Somebody came to me after the first service saying, we see that. Actually, that came out of the congregation. I didn't say that. We have a lot of display of giftings. This is my gifting. Bless me. Look at my gifting. But we never use that. God says, listen, figure out why you've got that thing, how it works. And then you connect yourself to the kingdom of God, why you are here, and let the kingdom of God come for your life. Because you're not an accountant. You're a Christian first. All of us here this morning. The reason why you're working there is not because God called you to sit down there in front of the computer every day, do the same thought thing. Some another time, we need to figure out, God, how am I going to connect what I'm doing and where I am with the kingdom of God? And I wish I could give that answer to all of us, but God has determined it so that you wouldn't run to me, that you will run back to Him and ask Him, God, why am I here? Sons have discovered why they are here, how they can use this. And He said to me, that so many times in the church of today that we have so many gifted people that come here Sunday after Sunday, still sitting in the pram. And we have people pushing them in here. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And we want to, bless me, brother, bless me. And next Sunday we go back, we have to push them back again. Because you're taking so much energy of the rest of the congregation because you still sit in your pram. And instead of becoming an asset, you're becoming a liability. Because now we have to assign somebody to push you around with all your issues and your nappies. You were supposed to be out of your nappies a long time ago. But, oh, don't talk about my issues. Don't talk about my nappy. Oh, my gifting. But by the way, I'm so gifted. God says, get out of that pram. You know, when the church, and we've got two kinds of churches today. We've got churches with a lot of prams. And a lot of people in there, but they are not babies anymore, supposed to be. They've been pushed around because, you know, children, they get so easily offended with the slightest thing. Yesterday, we came back and we're on the road, and one of my girls, and we in the middle of nowhere in the desert. Now she moans about she wants chips. We bought toasted sandwiches. And she goes, I want chips. I want chips. And I'm like, no. You're not going to do that anyway. You're grown up all. I want chips. And in the church, we all, I want this, clean this. And I sometimes have to remind people, come on, just turn your eyes off this little small issue, this issue that you've got with the brother. Look past that, forgive. Just keep your eye on the bigger picture because there's a war going on. And if we are pushing one another around, that's the one kind of church we have, a lot of babies. So everybody's just trying to keep everybody happy. Don't offend this one. Oh, otherwise this baby's going to go. Or you've got the other church. They realize they've grown up. They start using this. You see, I got to use this. Because why have I been given this? So that the kingdom of God can go. So that I can use this. And this thing, can I do what this thing can do? But I start using that. I connecting that. We're working as a, I almost want to say, as a machine together. That's why it's so beautiful when we do these big events and everybody's just chucking in there, helping, and because they've learned to take ownership. They've learned to discover what they can do and what they can give. So we've got people that actually has grown out of that place, out of that infant stage, out of that baby stage, to a place where they start crawling. We had it in the first service, two babies crawling and some running here to the father. It's beautiful. And they learn to discover that there's more to a baby. Just sitting here drinking my bottle, where every now and then, it's okay if you are there. Just grow out of that place some another time. But there are people that's grown out of their place. They learn to walk. And what they do is they run around now and say, I'm going to fetch babies. I'm going to bring them back to church. Because I'm going to help. See, until you've come to that place where you've discovered the reason why you're here this morning is just to take that pram, to go back and go and fetch another one. And I'll bring him back to church. It's okay, I'll pamper him. It's okay, I'll be okay with your issues. I won't get offended because I understand you're a baby. I understand that you're still there. I understand your struggles because I was there. But then I'm going to help you to get out of that place. It's okay to come as you are. It's not okay to stay as you are. See, too many of us wants to stay as we are. And God says, no, no, no. Grow up. Become a son in my house. See, sons, they receive correction in humility. They can take it when you come to them or somebody, the accountability partner or the cell leader, come to them and say, listen, let's talk about that. Come on, guys. Grow up. Can I help you here? Can we pray together? The solution is not with me this morning. The solution is with God. But all accountability partner do is just to help you to keep that in the light. And so I'm praying with you. I know I have people that's coming to us sometimes, and I don't get this one, but it does happen. They expect me to come to their house, solve their problem and their issue. Well, then I expect them, and my prescription is back in church on Sunday. And then I don't see them in church on Sunday. And I'm thinking, God, do they look at me to solve their problem, but they're not willing even to sit in your presence? Because I tell you, the majority of the problems God wants to solve in your life will happen in the presence of God. Not because I'm not saying I'm not willing to help you. Please raise your hand and say, oh, I'm drowning, help me. This is sometimes we need a bit of more intensive, say surgery, one-on-one. But the majority of things I've seen in life that will happen in the presence of God. That's why you cannot duplicate what happened at the men's camp. Some of the men will know the testimony of Stephen Lungu. You can listen to that afterwards. Great testimony. It's not the same as it was there. Because God's presence was there. There was something unique to that. And so much to any other event. That's why coming to church is not to me a, do I feel like it? I don't know. Oh, last night. No. It's an appointment to me. And I'm not saying when you have something valid reason. I'm just saying when you're in town and there's no other really reason which you shouldn't be. It's an appointment with God. I'm positioning myself in the presence of God so that maybe he can do something in my life. I do not know what he will do next week. I do not know what he will do the day after that. And I'm just saying to people, God, people, just place yourself in the presence of God. It's not about me. It's not about the guy that sings. It's not about my words. It's about being in the presence of God. I saw that so many times in my life. You see, I want to say an issue in somebody's life, and I just sense in my heart that God says, just relax, sit back, allow me. And then God comes, bang, and he does something in that heart, although I still do not know how he does it. And you just see the fruit. You just see this change in that person's life. And I said, God, I worship this kind of God. The other day we had the issue, I don't want to say issue, but I'm worried and I don't know how I have to address this. And the next thing, this person just turns around. Nobody went to him. Nobody spoke to him. But only the Spirit of God. Why? He was in the service. He sat here in the presence of God, and God changed his life. Now, sometimes we have to talk to people. I'm not saying that church is the only solution. But I'm talking about the presence of God. It allows us to get out of that place where we grow up, out of the baby socks and nappies and things, and God makes you a son in this house. I do not know about you, but that was my desire at that stage of my life. And that night when that pastor prayed, I still didn't even understand what it means to be a son. Spoke about sons, and I said, oh, I want to be a son. I want to be a son in God's house. And he prayed, he laid his hands upon him, and said, God, let this become a son in your house. And God started, and he did such an amazing work. I give him the praise in my life. And he can do exactly the same for you. I'm still far away from being finished. I can always tell you as well. He's still in my life, involved daily. He's just so involved. The other day when we were in Windhoek, and I just saw again, he's just 3 days ahead of me. I'm just amazed by the God I serve. The God that will be so ahead of me. He thought about this already. He's so involved in the small detail of my life that he wants to take me all the way to the end, because you don't want to reach the end and discover you ran the wrong race and you ran in the wrong direction. And somebody here this morning, you're still not running the race, and God is knocking and saying, get off that track and get on the right track. Because I love you. That's because I fight with you. I get passionate about these things because I know I want to take as many as possible with me. Because I don't want to reach the other end. And maybe we're standing there and God says, sorry. And you are my friend or my relative or what? And you ask me or tell me, why didn't you tell me? I'm running the wrong race. Pray for those loved ones. Pray for the ones around you that you see running the wrong race. Or maybe sitting in the pram this morning, you're supposed to get out of the pram. And I always want to throw the pram over and say, get out of the pram and go run out and fetch those that need help. There's one more phase. Oh, I'll run out of time. Paul writes this, actually, he says in verse 27, he says, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Lest I preach to others, I myself might be disqualified. And the last stage I want to, or final stage I want to talk about is the Father stage. Paul actually writes to the Corinthians later on. He says, there's not many of you who are fathers. It says to me, many grow in their walk with the Lord, but they never reach that place of becoming a father. See, a father accepts responsibility. And if you're a real father, you will not walk away from your house tonight or go at night and sleep and have a peaceful night if your children are hungry and if you know they're not taken care of. There's something inside of you as a father, as a mother that wants to provide, that wants to take care, that wants to take responsibility and say, this is my children, blood of my blood, flesh of my flesh. I tell you, in the spiritual realm, exactly the same. When you see that child, when you see that baby, when you see that son, you realize, I cannot just sit back. Get out of this dream, and now I ran my race, and I'm going to retire and go to Mauritius, or wherever. A real father always keeps his feet in the stream. See, maybe I'm not the best where I was. I can't run as fast, or I can't do the things I used to do when I was 18 years old or in my 20s. And I always say this to every young man and woman that's single, that's not married, run as fast as you can. Do as much as you can for the Lord. That's the time I've gained, I must say, a lot of things in my life. Then seasons change. Then we get excuses called babies, not to serve God. Okay? God blesses you. You ask and you pray and say, God, we can't have children. And God blesses you with something that you can't serve him. Now, I'm just joking about that, but we do that. Then the seasons change, and then we have to do it differently. And then we have to adapt to the season. But when you reach that place, when you realize, man, I'm not as good as that, or I can't do that as good as I used to do, and I'm in a different season, then you learn to teach others and to help others, and you impart from what you've received to the other generation, because the father doesn't think about himself. He thinks about the generation after that. He thinks about the one that will come after me. And a father, I tell you what, a father is not jealous about his son. He's not jealous about the gifting of his son. Even if his son runs further than him, he's actually proud, a real father. If we become jealous among one another about gifting, close our doors. A father is proud of his son. He wants to see his son run further than it. He wants to see the kingdom. Because why? It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. It's about his kingdom. And we need to reach, or we need to figure out how to pass this on to the next generation behind us. That's why a church that says to me they don't have a youth ministry because they don't talk the language of the youth, oh man, you're a dying church. Now I can tell you what, we're figuring and we're learning a lot. We haven't figured them out yet, the youth. Sometimes I just don't know, but I'm not going to say no to the next generation behind us. I admit to you, sometimes we struggle with our youth, and we do struggle in the sense of how do we talk their language? How do we pass this on to them? But we cannot give up and say, whoa, man, I've tried my best, but the youth is not for me. This is what happened in England. I spoke to men and women, 65, 70 years of age, that do not know the name of Jesus. Older generation that's supposed to pass that on to the next generation. I'm not talking about religion. They don't even have the framework of religion. They don't even have the framework of God. It's gone. And then I realized, God, there's maybe one or two generations gone that dropped this thing on the ground. God will help us. Will need to help us so that we will get to that stage out of the baby, through the son, to a father and say, God, we want to impart. We take responsibility. One more thought, and then we'll close. In Genesis 21, God comes to Abram just before that. And we all know that Abram was promised the father of many. So God says to Abram, Abram, you're going to be the father of many. So Abram grows old, and Abram's past is 90. And I can just see Abram with his kiri or walking stick just going like that. And I think, God, is anybody above 90 here this morning? 90 above? Nobody. So we can't identify with Abram. But anyway, so Abram is going there. But I think, anyway, if you see yourself as old this morning, you know you haven't got the capability of raising a child, maybe you can identify with. Abram is at that place of his life when he thought, man, I need to make a plan because there's a word of God. There's a promise. And Abram says, well, let me get another wife. And that's the problem. Another wife. So he gets another wife because Sarah can't bear children, or at that stage God intended to be like that. So he gets his Hagar, a lady called Hagar, and they had a child called Ishmael. Now there's two children in the house, two women. No. And I can tell you that's problems. So Hagar comes to Abram, says, Abram, that other woman, Sarah comes to Abram. That other woman is not welcome in my house. Let her go. So now Abram's got a problem. And the Bible is so interesting. Abram goes back to God. He says, God, what am I supposed to do? It's my child. Ishmael's my child. And we've got Isaac as well. And want to please everybody and keep there's peace in the house. God says, no, let him go. Kick her out. So that's harsh. God says, I will take care of that child. That's interesting to read that history. By the way, we'll give you understanding of what's happening here. God actually says, I will bless that child. Anyway, so off Hagar goes with Ishmael until she reaches a place in the desert where she's just so out of excuses, at a bad and low place in her life, and she couldn't take care of that little boy anymore. And the Bible says in Genesis 21, she put down that boy underneath the bush. She walked away. She sat down because she couldn't listen to the cry of that boy anymore. And she didn't want to see that boy dying. And now this is the thing I just saw this morning. I just never saw that like that. While she was sitting there, just moaning, said, God, let me die. I cannot do this anymore. It's just too much for me. This child that you've... The Bible says that God, both of them cried. Hagar and Ishmael. But God heard the voice of the boy. Because God had a future for that boy. I'm not saying somewhere went wrong. But I'm saying to you, some of us this morning, maybe you've let down. Maybe you've put that baby under the bush somewhere. And God is calling you back. Say, go and pick up that baby. Bring him back. Maybe God is sending you back this morning. Say, listen, you let him down there. That person, that one that's under that bush. And you didn't have any strength anymore. And the same with Hagar. When God intervened, he opened her eyes to see the water in front of her and the bread. And he enabled her to take that child. God fed that child and he raised him up. And for many of us, God will have to send you back to that place where you let it down. Because a father cannot put the baby under the bush. You can't let your child leave him there in the sun where the scorching sun will burn him to death. And it breaks my heart sometimes to see how easily we drop the assignments of God, the people of God, just to leave them under the bush, and we call ourselves mature. And we walk away from responsibility, say, well, nothing to do with me. I'm not talking about rebellion. Actual fact, you know, lately, God is just through various people and things that's happening around us, that the whole story about the prodigal son, I don't know, maybe God just gives me a greater understanding of that. But when that father, when that son came to that father on that day and said, Lord, Father, I want to go, that father knew where he was going. He knew he's going to make a mistake. He knew at that stage, you're not making a wise decision. But he also knew that he couldn't control that son. And sometimes people walk away from us and it's painful because you know he's going in the wrong direction. But deep inside of you, even though that child says all the bad stuff and he's against you, deep inside of you, there's this voice crying out, pray. Pray for him. Call him back. And maybe there are people around you that's in that place. Because if you're a real father, you start cry out, God. Because that son's redemption didn't happen in the father's house. It happened in the pigsty. Among that mess. That's where my life, where my redemption started. And I guess all of us has got such a story of a probably of the prodigal son, your own life, when you were there. And he went there. He was willing to touch you. You stank. Nobody wanted to touch you, but he was willing to touch you. Where are you in your race this morning? Where are you running? Are you in the beginning phase? The Lord bless you. May we help you to that place where you grow up to become a son. Or maybe you are a son, or you're starting to discover, or maybe you are just at that place and say, God, I do not know why I'm here. I do not know why you've placed me here. I do not know if even if I have any gifting. Or maybe you've grown to that place, you get the heart for generations. Say, God, it's more than just me. It's more than just this time. What I want us to do in a minute, we're going to hand out the communion elements. And then we're going to talk to one another, to the person next to you or of your choice, about your race. Where do you see yourself? Or maybe you've got a question, or maybe you've got a desire. Talk about that part of your race where you see yourself running, or the challenge that you're facing at this time. And then we just consecrate that and we pray about it. Because you know what Jesus did? He ran the race in front. He ran before us. And then he finished strong. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians, 1 Timothy 2, 27, I believe. He says, I ran the race. I finished it faithfully. That's my prayer this morning. When I pray, God help me daily. Because I've got daily the decision to deny him. Daily I've got the decision to walk away from him. And maybe sometimes more difficult, but I tell you, one experience in the presence of God is not enough. You've got to choose him continuously. And I pray, God, help me to finish strong, to pass this on to the next generation, to make the most of my time when I'm here. Let's, as we take this communion, remind ourselves, because that's what Jesus said, sit down every now and then. And you look at that, then it reminds you of what I've done, about the race that I ran, that I finished faithfully. I commend you, I encourage you to run faithfully as well, so that we meet again on the other side. Amen. Can we end that out? And then we can just, as we share with one another, just pray with the person next to you. And we end the service there. The Lord bless you.